I do thank you for being in church and looking forward to this week and all the preaching and the preachers coming in, and it's going to be a blessing. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. We do have some visitors that came in a little bit after the service started, and they're in the back, and that is Adam and Sarah Russell. They are here with us, so if you want to look back there, you can. All right, they're back there. Wave, Russells. We love you guys, and so praise the Lord for them here, taking care of a few things, and so you see them after the service, and that'll be a blessing. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 1. 1 Samuel 7. Let's pray, and then we'll read, because we're going to read a big portion here, so I'll forget. All right, let's go ahead and pray now. Lord, thank you so much for your kindness to us and your goodness. And Lord, just thank you for being such a great God. And Lord, we ask that you bless now this time, and Lord, that you would use, I ask that you would use me to be your servant, to preach the word, and Lord, I would say right things. Your Holy Spirit would have free course and free reign, Lord, here this morning, and Lord, you would deal with hearts accordingly. And Lord, we thank you for your word, we thank you for a perfect book, and we thank you for your kindness. Lord, I ask that you would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of your people, but Lord, when we leave here, we would certainly know that you spoke to us and you did something for our hearts. And Lord, help us to be soldiers and servants for you as we go about this week and we go about, Lord, looking forward to hearing some extra preaching with our meetings this week. Lord, just please bless us and help us to be what we need to be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Previously in the book of Samuel, they had went to battle with the Philistines, and the Philistines had taken the ark. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant in battle, and Eli, who was the priest, and his sons died. His sons died in battle. Eli died when he heard the news. And so the Philistines had the ark for a while. God wasn't nice to them when they stole the ark. All right? God doesn't want to be messed around with. And so they end up bringing it back to Israel, and they get the ark, and the ark sits here, and this is where we find ourselves here for 20 years. Samuel now is the priest. Samuel now is the prophet in Eli's stead. And the Bible says in verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods," "put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, and the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines." There must have been something here. They were underneath the hand of the Philistines. So there must have been something going on where the Philistines said, you can't gather together to worship. Because when they do gather together to worship, they said, hey, we're going to go get them. And we're going to make them pay for that. That's what happens in verse 7. And so the children of Israel are afraid of the Philistines. Verse 8, "And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. All right, so what I want to do here is I want to look at the end of the story and pick out a piece of scripture here, look at the end, and then we're going to go back and kind of come through the chapter. All right, but I want to preach a message this morning called Preparing for Peace. Preparing for peace. All right, now you might think, I don't understand here. Preparing for war, that makes sense. We need to get ready for the war that's about to come. Preparing for troubles, okay, that might make sense because we're all going to face some troubles. And so we should know how to prepare for when those troubles come and what we can do. But I think very few people prepare for peace. They prepare for peace. It says here in verse 14, the Bible says, "And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." There was peace. And you know, the reality is everybody wants peace. I don't think there's a person in here that says, "You know what I'm praying for? More chaos in my life." I don't think anyone's praying for that. If you are, I don't know. I think something's not right. You know what they say? You know, the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. You know, you're a French fry short of a happy meal. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he goes, "Listen, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm no spoon." You know, like, give me some kind of credit. All right, but I don't think anyone's just saying, "You know what you could bring into my life? More trouble, more fear, more anxiety, more chaos." Like I said, could you just add, "I'm feeling a little bit light on stress. Could you just dump a lot more on me?" I don't think these are prayer. This is not what people lay at night, sleepless nights, thinking about. "Oh man, I just wish I had some more anxiety." No, you know what people are looking for? Peace. They're looking for peace in their lives. They're looking to lay their heads on their pillows at night and be like, right? And just off to sleep while you're counting sheep or counting whatever else. Just going off to sleep. There needs to be a preparation for peace. The Lord, He's called the Lord of peace. He's called the God of peace. And if we want to have peace, and we should be looking for that peace, and we should understand that peace comes from God. And that peace comes between us and God. And that God gives us that peace. Peace from our enemies, and peace from our struggles, and peace from whatever it is that your heart's troubled and worried about. But we need to prepare for that. We need to prepare for peace. And we find out at the beginning of the chapter, Israel wasn't ready for peace. And God hadn't given them peace. And there were things on their hearts, and there was burdens, and this was fears, and there were things that were going on. Samuel stands up and says some things, and they realize, "Man, how are we supposed to have peace? We're not right with God." And they start to do some things. And so I want to talk about that. I want to preach on that. I want to look at the chapter and preach on this idea of preparing for peace. All right, so let's get into it. We have a few points here this morning. Let's get into it. Number one, I'd like to say this. In order to prepare for peace, you need preaching. You need to say, "Oh, see, I knew it. You weren't going where I thought you were going." We'll get there. Just stick with me, all right? Just listen, stick with me, and you'll see how these things start going together. All right, but the first thing that you need to prepare for peace is you need preaching. Look in verse number 3. In verse number 3, Samuel looked around the nation and Samuel saw what was going on. There were some things that had happened with the priesthood, and there were some things that had happened with them being under affliction. And he looked around and this is what he says. What's Samuel doing? He's preaching to them. He's the prophet. He's preaching to the people of Israel, and he gathers them together in verse 3, and he says, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Yeah. What was their big worry right now? The Philistines, they were oppressing them, and they weren't allowing them to have their freedoms, and they weren't able to do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't have the same peace that they had under God at one point. And they were under military oppression. They were under religious oppression. And they were under all this stuff. And man, it was 20 years they've been going through this. 20 years. And Samuel stands up and he preaches to him and he says, hey, man, if you want some peace, say, that's not in there. I know. But he says, listen, you're worried. You're fearful. Your heart is burdened about these Philistines. He says, turn unto the Lord with all your hearts. Put away the strange gods. Prepare your hearts. Serve him only. You know what you and I need to do to prepare for peace? We need to put ourselves underneath, submit our hearts to Bible preaching. That's what you and I need to do. I mean, I'm talking open Bible, truth-telling, hide-tearing sometimes, thus saith the Lord, type of preaching. You need it. So I don't like that kind. We're preparing for peace, aren't we? You want to prepare for something else, you do it your way. You want to prepare for peace with God and peace in your life, do it his way. And what does he say? You need preaching. You need preaching. It's preaching is God-ordained. I mean, I didn't just decide one day to make it a career. It would have been a bad career choice. All right? I didn't decide, you know what I want to do someday? I just want to stand up in front of a bunch of people and yell at them and hope they come back. That's never a good idea. But you know what? God ordained it. God ordained for you. And guess what I get to have this week? Preaching. Guess what I get to sit under? Preaching. And you know what I do when I sit underneath the preaching? I say, all right. I'm not the one standing up there. So you know what? God has someone else standing up there. You know what that means? That means whatever comes from this pulpit, from the Word of God, and from the power of the Holy Spirit, I need to submit and put myself under that. Amen. Why? So God can speak to me and God can deal with me about things. And man, you need, if you prepare for peace, you need to put yourself under Bible preaching. It's God ordained. It should be Spirit-filled. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit of God inside of you as someone that's saved and born again, it bears witness with the preaching. Now, part of you might say, yuck. And part of you, the Holy Spirit of God inside says, nope, that's you need that. He's stepping on your toes because you need it. The Holy Spirit says, I'm yelling at you right now because you need to listen to God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes down through the preaching and just wraps his arms around us and gives us a hug and loves on us. Amen. You know what we need? We need that too. Yeah, but what comes? It comes through the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is not all negative. It's not all positive. It's not all, you're the best. It's not all, you're the worst. It's not all of those things. It's the whole counsel of God. And it should be Holy Spirit led. And what you need to prepare for peace is the preaching of the Word of God. It'll change your life if you let it. Amen. You know how many decisions I've made because of preaching in my life that have changed my life for the better? And by the grace of God, changed my life forever? Amen. That's the grace and mercy of God. I would rather have God yell at me through a preacher than I would him and I have to go out and I get to take my own switch off the tree. I'd rather that than hear that sound of the belt coming through the belt loops. I know what that means. It's gonna hurt. I'd rather have God deal with me graciously through the preaching of his word. And so I have an opportunity to listen and to take heed to it and to submit myself to it. It's the preaching. Preaching leads to salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, but we preach Christ crucified. Putting yourself underneath the preaching can do what? Can lead to your salvation. Submitting yourself to God, submitting yourself to the truth, submitting yourself to the fact that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And we, by faith, can get in on the greatest blessing that's ever existed, salvation and heaven for eternity. And Jesus Christ and God as our Father through salvation. What a blessing. Preaching can increase your faith. Romans chapter 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is that? You hear the preaching, your faith can be increased, and you can walk out these doors with a straighter back to say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go forward for the cause of Christ. Preaching brings peace. Ephesians 2 says, and came and preached peace unto you. Preached peace unto you. What is that? Peace with God. Peace with one another. Peace between you and your families. What? It can bring peace. What happened? Preaching of the Word of God can bring peace. Preaching, Bible says in Colossians 1, Paul is talking about preaching, warning every man, and teaching. You know what preaching is sometimes? It's a warning. Don't go that way. Don't do that thing. Stop it. Preaching is a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning every man and teaching every man, Paul says. With the preaching of the Word of God is a teaching. You should be learning something. You should allow the Holy Spirit of God to say, okay, I understand more about the Scripture. I understand more about God. I understand more about what He wants of me. It's a teaching time. And what's God use? God uses the preaching of His Word. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3 says, manifest His Word through preaching. Amen. I just don't know that much Bible. Put yourself under preaching. Well, I just don't understand a lot of things. Put yourself under preaching. Well, this is how I thought it was because this is the way I was raised. Put yourself under Bible preaching. I'm not talking about like warm feeling little talks, right? I'm not talking about TED Talks in church. I'm not talking about these little things where you get this little, you know, I don't know. I don't really know how to put it. I know when I hear preaching, and I know when someone's supposed to be preaching and I don't hear it. I know the difference. No one has to be mean. Nobody has to have a certain personality. Nobody has to have a certain amount of wisdom. But I know preaching when I hear it. And what is it? It is from the Word of God with God-given authority. It is something to challenge. It is something to encourage. It is something to serve a purpose for us as the listener as we live our lives for Jesus Christ. And that purpose of that, He manifests His Word through preaching. And that's what we're doing. I'm not up here to give you my opinions. I'm up here to give you the Word, because that's what matters. You can come ask my opinion later and you can take it or leave it. But the Word of God is what matters. The Word of God matters. Put yourself underneath the preaching of the Word of God. And you know what it'll do? Bring peace in your life. It's preparing your heart for the peace of God that He wants in your life. So firstly, it's through preaching. If you put yourself underneath the preaching in preparation for peace, you're going to get number two. And that's a purging. A purging. Look in verse 4. Look in verse 4. We just had the preaching of Samuel. Put away the gods. Prepare your hearts. Serve Him only. Verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. You know what a purging is? A purging is it's a cleansing. Yeah, it's a purifying. It's a separation. Amen. That's what it is. It's a putting away of things that shouldn't have been in there. Like what? False gods. Israel's reaction here, now we know Israel's history, right? Up and down, up and down. But Israel's reaction here is the reaction every preacher wants. Stop it, and people stop. Start it, and people start. Grow, and people grow. Do what the Word of God says, and you start doing what the Word of God says. That's what every preacher hopes for. That's what every preacher prays for. And eventually, you stop looking for the fruit of it because it gets disappointing. And what you do is say, Lord, you know the fruit, and you can see it. I don't have to see it. I just want to try to be faithful, but please, grow your people and encourage your people and love your people and allow them to grow in the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't have to see it, Lord. Just tell me sometimes a little bit that it is happening. And then I'll keep going. And I'll get up there again and do it again. And the reaction here is a purging. It's a purging. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That's what preaching should be, mercy and truth from God. And what happens? Our iniquity can be purged. 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Amen. What is that? It's a self purge things out of our lives, get things out of our lives. John 15:2 says, every branch that beareth fruit, this is not the ones that don't bear fruit, because those are cast out. The branches that don't bear fruit, they take those off and they throw them out. But the branches that do bear fruit, he says, he purgeth. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Amen. More fruit. You understand that around here with fruit trees? You get that? What do? You get a harvest, and then there's the trees there, and do you leave everything the way it is? No, you don't. You cut that apple tree back to where you're like, that thing's not even going to live. We just basically chopped it off at the stump. It's just a tall stump. That's what we left. And then what happens? It grows back, and what does it do? It bears more fruit. Amen. It bears more fruit. There needs to be a purging in our lives. They got rid of the gods of Balaam and Ashtaroth, and they served God only. What was that? That was a purging. And the preaching of God's word should bring a purging in your life, done by you. And led of the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense? The Lord tells you what to get rid of, and then you do that thing. Amen. You don't blame it on the preacher. You don't blame it on somebody else does something else, and I don't want to get rid of that because somebody else does it, or I don't want to start it. No, the Lord speaks to you, and then you do that thing. Amen. That's a purging. And when the more you do that, the more you purge that sin out of your life. And I know sometimes it's a shock. Sometimes the Lord says, you shouldn't be doing that. And you said, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know that was wrong. And the Holy Spirit says, you do now. You say, whoa, I don't want that to be wrong. And the Lord says, I want you to purge it. Purge it out of your life. And you know, the more that you purge sin out of your life, you know what happens? The more you're preparing for peace. You're preparing for the peace of God. Number three. Let's read verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will, what's it say? Glad two people were reading along. I will pray, it says. Pray for you unto the Lord. If you're going to prepare for peace, you know what you need to do? Pray. Amen. There needs to be some praying going on in your life. There needs to be some praying, what is it? Unto the Lord. Amen. Unto the Lord. You know what I like? I like when people are praying for me. I rely on it, actually. I rely on it. I rely on people praying for me to be able to be what I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do and live how I'm supposed to live. I rely on that. And the nation of Israel goes to Samuel and says, he says to them, I'm going to pray for you unto the Lord. You know, but we need, you know what we need to do as well? We need to be praying. Amen. We need to be praying for others. We need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying unto the Lord and bringing our requests to God. Amen. That's what we need to do. Not only do I enjoy and I appreciate when people pray for me, but I need to pray. I need to take my own cares to the Lord. Jeremiah 29, it says, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in peace therefore shall ye have peace. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray without. What should you and I be doing? We should have a relationship with the Lord. Amen. We should have a relationship where we can talk to the Lord. You know, your posture doesn't matter all the time when you're praying. Just pray anywhere and everywhere. Amen. Pray about everything. Lord, what should I do about this? Lord, what should I do here? Should I do this? What about this thing? go to the store. Lord, should I buy this? Or is it going to be more efficient to buy it somewhere else? Lord, should I even have this thing? Lord, what do you want me to do about this? Lord, should I go in this direction? Should I say this thing? Should I make this decision? What is it? Prayer. Amen. Prayer. Sometimes the only time we pray to the Lord is to bail us out of the trouble that we got ourselves into, and we never asked him about it. We never said, Lord, should I do this thing? We just said, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going for it. Somebody said I can do it, and it'd be a good idea, so I'm going to do it. And then we're like, oh, it's a bad idea. Lord, help me. I just said some things that were bad ideas. And the Lord says, man, this could all been avoided. Yeah. Lord, ever have that conversation with you? This would have been a lot easier if you asked me this question X amount of time ago, before you made these choices. Now we got to get ourselves out. What should we be doing? We should be praying. We should be praying, having a prayer time, and having a time set aside to be able to take our requests to the Lord, having a time where we can just go through the day and get into a habit of talking to the Lord and praying to the Lord and seeking him. We're having a prayer time on Wednesday. Why? Because we need it. We need it. If you're seeking peace, you should be preparing for peace. Say, how do I prepare for peace? You take it to the Lord. You take it to the Lord. Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what that brings in your heart? When you have troubles and worries and heartaches, and you can cast those onto a heavenly Father that we know that cares for us and loves us and wants what's best for us. You know what it means? Have you ever felt that feeling when you can cast your burdens on the Lord and feel that peace from the Lord? Amen. Feel that peace from God? It brings peace. What brings peace? Prayer. Amen. Prayer brings peace. It brings peace. And not just prayer, but with that prayer. Look in verse 6. And they gathered together unto Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Not only just a prayer like, okay, Lord, well, thanks for this food. Appreciate it. I like McDonald's and I got a Happy Meal. Not that, but not just the prayer, but a pouring out of ourselves. A pouring out. In the Old Testament, that pouring out here, they drew some water and they dumped it on the ground. They poured it out on the ground. But in the Old Testament, this was connected to the offerings. This was connected to a drink offering that they would put together and they would pour that out. It's connected to the blood of the sacrifice that they would have, and they would pour that onto the altar and they would pour that out. That pouring out had to do with something before the Lord. Amen. David's mighty men one time, his best warriors that he had, he was sitting there one time and he's thinking to himself, as he's running from Saul and he's fearing for his life and he has these men around him, he says, oh, that I could have a drink from the well of Bethlehem. He's just kind of talking out loud, saying this. And three of his mighty men say, hey, did you hear what our king wants? Man, he would like a drink from the well of Bethlehem. You know what they do? Because these guys were men. They put on their swords and they grab a bucket and they battle the Philistines to Bethlehem, draw some water, battle their way back, and they present it to their king. Amen. And you know what David does? He says, they got this water with the risk of their own blood and their own lives. You know what he does? He takes some of that water and he pours it out before the Lord. Say, oh, shouldn't he have drank some? He poured it out because he was showing God that, man, look what's happened. And I want to give you blessing for these men that you've given me to fight and to battle for things like this. And the Bible says he pours that water out before the Lord. What was that? It was connected with an offering. It was connected with a sacrifice. In the New Testament, the woman with the alabaster box of precious ointment, you remember that? And she takes that precious ointment and she breaks that box. And what she do? She pours that oil on Jesus Christ's head to anoint him. Same thing as the Old Testament they used to do with the priest. They would anoint the high priest and they would anoint the priest with oil. What was that pouring out? It was a separation and a sanctification and a sacrifice unto the Lord. That's what was connected with that pouring out. Jesus Christ's blood was poured out for you and I. Amen. When he shed it on Calvary. It was poured out. We should pour out ourselves before the Lord. Amen. You should know, pray for so-and-so. I saw this random thing on Facebook and Lord help it. No, there should be times of prayer. If we're looking for peace, there should be times of prayer where we're pouring ourselves out before the Lord. We're emptying ourselves before the Lord. Amen. Listen, you might have burdens on your heart you don't want to tell anybody about. That's fine. Pour them out before the Lord. Amen. Pour them out before God. Why? It brings peace. It brings peace. You know what they ended up saying when they poured themselves out in verse 6? They said, "We have sinned against the Lord." We've sinned against the Lord. What is that? That's pouring yourself out before God. He knows already. Just admit it. Be open. Admit it before God. Repent before God. Open yourselves up before God. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Pour your heart out before him. Psalm 142 says, "I poured out my complaint before him." Oh, I shouldn't do that. I should thank the Lord, but I shouldn't complain to the Lord. If you're going to complain, it's better off to complain to him than somebody else that might start complaining with you. Amen. Complain to him. Why? "Lord, it's just, I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand. Lord, I'm bellyaching here." You know what to do? Pour it out before the Lord. You pour out your complaint before the Lord, and God will deal with you graciously. Amen. It's better than pouring out your complaint to everybody else and getting it. Why? Complaining's contagious. Yeah. You start pouring out your complaint to everybody else, and what happens? Now you got a whole bunch of complainers, and God's not happy with complainers. We can go to the Old Testament and check it out. He's not happy about that. But you can complain to him. What's the song say? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. What is it? It's a pouring out. It's a pouring out of ourselves. That's what you and I should do. In what? Preparation for peace. Preparation for peace. Pour ourselves out before the Lord. Look in verse 7. The Bible says, "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." It's not, prayer is not just a communication with God, but there's praying. There's pouring. And look what else was happening here. Samuel does in verse 9. He's pleading. He's pleading with the Lord. It had some urgency. It was in earnest. Right? And in urgency, pleading unto the Lord. And begging the Lord and beseeching the Lord. All Bible words. And pleading with God. Job, if you remember his story, right? He says, "Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleading of my lips." That's the condition Job was in. Job found himself, when he had lost everything, Job found himself there pleading with the Lord, pleading with his friends to hear him out. There was earnestness in his prayers and in his demands. They were pleading words. "Lord, I need you. Be merciful unto me, a sinner." Amen. What is that? That's pleading with the Lord. "Lord, please hear my prayer." You ever been in those times? I have. What are you doing? You're pleading. You're begging with the Lord. You're pleading with God. "Please hear me." You put yourself out there and you beg God. Why? Because, well, he's God. Amen. And we're not. Oftentimes, we try every route before we start pleading with God. We try every route of man before we plead with God. Why do we do that? We think he's too busy? Listen, if I can be in my office this morning praying unto the Lord, and we can be pretty upfront here. You know, I'm not in the top ranks of the Lord's servants. You know, there are many, many that I look up to and I respect. And man, they soldiers of the Lord, faithful for year after year after year. But you know, if the Lord can hear me just in my office in this little dot of Washington, in this little chunk of the world, if God can come down and hear me, his son, and hear you, his children, why would we wait to plead unto the Lord when he's God? Instead, it's like, I'll try to figure it out in my brain. I can't figure it out. I'll try to ask somebody else and help them figure it out. If they can't figure it out, I'll go to the internet. Then I'll get dumber. Amen. We just usually go to the internet anyway because we can't think for ourselves anymore. The internet will tell me what to do. I'm hungry. What should I do? Let me ask the internet. No, eat food. But we try all these other options instead of pleading to the Lord. We feel like when we have no other options, then we'll plead to the Lord. No, we should be pleading to him. We should be going to him with our concerns and pleading with God that he hear us. Because the Bible says here, that's what Samuel did. And guess what? And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. The Lord hears our prayers. He hears our cries. He hears our pleading unto him. Now, the way he answers is up to him. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. The way he answers and the way he orchestrates things, that's up to him. But you know what God can bring? Peace. He can bring peace. Isn't that what you're looking for? Most people aren't looking for peace in the sunshine. Most people are looking for peace in the time of clouds, in the time of, I'm not sure which direction to go in. That's when you're looking for peace. When the adversary is near and you're fearful in your heart, that's when you're looking for peace. When the worry just seems to be overwhelming, that's when you're looking for peace. And why would we not plead unto God first? Why would we not take it unto the Lord? When's the last time you pleaded with the Lord? When's the last time you got on your face before God and pleaded with him and struggled and wrestled with him? If you haven't done that, I'm not sure where else we go. Right? Amen. Right? If you can't before God, your Savior, if you've never just pleaded with God and begged with him and went straight to him and poured out yourself to him in prayer, I don't know. It should be important. It should be something we realize, man, I haven't done this for a while. Uncertainties, and I don't know what to do with my life, and I don't want direction to head, and I don't know what to do now. You need to get before God, and you plead with him. Because your own way, not so good. I mean, you can sit in church and not pay attention. You're not hurting my feelings. It's disappointing. Because you won't be pleading with God until you're in trouble and you're a mess. Then you'll be pleading with God. Then you might hear a message. Then you might pay attention. But until then, plead with them now. Amen. And let what happen? Let peace come. Let peace come. Prepare for peace. So there was pleading. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines." Why? Because the Lord, in verse number 10, I should have backed up, Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines draw near to battle. But the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before the Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. You know what happens next? There is pursuing. In their preparation for peace, you know what they did? They pursued. They pursued. When the Lord gives you some victory and there's some things in your life that he's trying to clean out of your life, when the enemy is fleeing, you know what you need to do? pursue it and kick it in the rear end until it's gone. But you know what you and I like to do? We get some temporary victories and God gives us some help. We like to keep that sin around. We like to keep that opposition somewhere close by. Because there's a little bit of comfort in the enemies we know. There's a little bit of comfort in the sins that we commit. There's a little bit of things that we like about it. But you know what Israel did? They pursued the Philistines until they were gone. With God's help, they said, hey, look, the Philistines, they're on the run. They're nervous about us now. God's given us some victory. And they don't say, see you later, and let them like park next to their house. You know what they do? Let's kick them out of here until they're out of our land and they're not even our neighbors anymore. Let's kick them out there, and then I'll come back over here, and then I can have some peace because they're gone. There should be some pursuing in our life. When the Lord starts answering our prayers and we plead to the Lord and he starts to bring some victories, you know what we should do? We should make sure that stuff is out of our lives. Well, for a time I did this and the Lord helped me, but now I don't need that same help, so I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. That's foolishness. Unless you like the cycle. If you like the cycle, then you'll stay there. Right? But get it out of your life. Pursue it until it's gone. Pursue it until you understand, man, God's given some victory, and that's over there, and that's gone out of my life. Praise God. There might be a temptation to go look it up and find it. Right? Many preachers have said people come down to the altar, and they repent of their sin, and they pour themselves out before the Lord, and they plead before God when God's dealing with their hearts, and they leave their sins, and they leave their own will and their own desires, and they go back to their seats, but a couple weeks later, they come back and pick it up. Because that's, if we're not careful, that's what you and I can do in our own lives. I got some victory. I want to go back and do it again. After a while, the victory doesn't feel as sweet when you just, it's the same thing. After a while, you're like, oh man, I don't have victories. I just have moments in between defeat because I won't get it out of my life. There's a pursuing, there's a going after it and chasing after it. It's an active thing. It's an active thing. You think the world, the flesh, and the devil are just going to leave you alone forever? You are mistaken. If you think, woo, I didn't do the wrong thing right now, and you turn your back and you think, it's probably gone forever. You turn around, it's staring you in the face. Don't let sin and rebellion and lust and jealousy, don't let it stick around. When the Lord gives you some victory, pursue it until it's gone. Pursue it until it's gone. You know what happens here in verse number 12? Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You know what there was? There was praising. There was praising. Praising the Lord. The Lord helped us. Praise the Lord that he helped us. I got saved. Praise the Lord that he's a God of salvation. The Lord took some junk out of my life. Praise the Lord that he's a God of mercy. Man, some things the Lord put together, some things in my life. The Lord's been merciful and gracious and kind and long-suffering. Praise the Lord for all of those things. Why? Because it's preparation for peace. It's preparation for peace. You know what? The Lord is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of it. I'm not asking you to praise something that is mediocre. I'm asking you to praise the Lord God of heaven. Hebrews 13 says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. Listen, complaining and praise, they can't go together. Amen. And I said you can complain to the Lord and take it to him, but then praise him. Amen. Praise him. You have reason. John says, give God the praise. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Amen. Everything. Let it praise the Lord. I've talked about it before, but Walt and I have talked about it. Pastor Aaron, we can come here on a random day in the summertime and these little birds are all just flying around here, sitting on the telephone poles and sitting on the wires and hanging out at the little places they're making nests where they should be and where they shouldn't be. And they're all hanging out around here. And sometimes I'll be in my office, and I'll just open up the windows and you can just hear them out there chirping and singing away. What are they doing? Probably praising the Lord. They're God's creation. God created them, provided the worm for their breakfast, the bugs for them to eat. They're just praising the Lord, sitting in the sunshine. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, we got some things we can praise him for. There's some things that God's done in our lives we can certainly praise him for. We can praise him privately. We can praise him publicly. We can praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Amen. What does it do? It leads to peace. It leads to peace. Say, I knew it. I knew you were going to tell me all these things I had to do to bring peace. Listen, we have to prepare ourselves. Amen. We have to prepare ourselves for peace. Because that's where it leads, verse 14. And there was peace. You see it? And there was peace. That's what it says. Underline it in your Bible. And there was peace. Man, what a blessing. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There was peace. It takes work, takes preparation. Put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. What does that mean? It means come to church. Listen to the preaching. Amen. We have special meetings. It's already been mentioned. Come. Come to the meetings. Clear your schedule. Make the meeting a priority in your life. Why? And watch God work. Watch God work. Well, I'm fine. I don't need any more of the Lord. If you knew what it could be like, we just go to the boss tomorrow morning and say, you know what? I could really live on this much money, so I'm going to give the rest back. I don't need to be paid this much. I'll take less pay because I can really live on less pay. You'd never in a million years do that. But that's because we value money more than we value God. And what he could do in our lives and how he could speak to us and what he would ask of us and what he would lead us to do and guide us to do. Put yourself under the preaching of God's word. Purge some sin out of your life. Pray to the God of peace. Pour yourself out before God. Plead with God. Pursue the enemy until it's gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise him when you feel like it. Praise him when you don't feel like it. Praise him when it's going great. Praise him when it's not going great. Praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Praise him. Are you doing any of these things? It's preparing for peace. We all want it. Lord, give me some peace in my life. What about the preparation? What about the preparation for God to give you peace, a lasting peace? Something you put yourself in the position for God's peace and for you to take that upon yourself and to be able to let it rule in your heart. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.